Hi there. Welcome into Bob Seger Boulevard. I'm your host, Big Jim O'Brien. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you listen locally or you can listen online to WCSX, the radio station, I host Big Jim's House Morning Show here in Detroit. Thanks for the feedback so far and everybody, you guys reaching out and listening as well. It's cool to know you're out there and you know, I think it's unique for us in Detroit that he's our guy. He's, you know, we're all so proud of Bob Seger and what he's become and what his music's done for people around the world. And to hear and to see the emails and text messages and stuff and folks that come to the Motor City just to go by Bob Seger Boulevard and take a picture in Allen Park. It's fantastic. This week I want to get a little personal and share more of a conversation we had with Bob Seger in studio. It's about a year ago, a little over a year ago actually, when he released the album I Knew You When. Now, hopefully there's some things that you know about this album. To understand it, I want to put what's going on in context. This album was a tribute to Glenn Frey, his friend. Bob was Glenn's mentor. When Glenn and Bob first became friends, Glenn was in a cover band. As a matter of fact, if you go on YouTube and type in Jim O'Brien, Glenn Frey, you'll find a video that a listener had sent me years ago of a very young Glenn Frey, like 16 years old, performing in someone's garage here in Birmingham, Michigan. We figured out the song is probably the Isley Brothers Shout. We don't have audio to it. It's one of the old, what do you call it? It's little, like the little, you know, the home cameras, the 8mm ones you'd have back in the day. But there's Glenn just dancing his ass off, man. It's fantastic. Now, he and Bob became friends musically. Glenn, as you'll hear on the back of Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, the original version, that's Glenn. And obviously later on their involvement as they kind of worked with each other through the Eagles. But there was a time where Glenn was just a cover artist and Bob had taken him to Ann Arbor. And they were talking about it, and Bob's the one who kicked him in the ass and said, "You got to write your own stuff. You got to become more." And I think they were watching a band, and I don't remember if it was the Frost or who it was, but he said, "You're going to get stuck here locally if you don't write your own stuff." So Glenn did, and Glenn even asked him. I love this part where he said to him, "You know, well, what happens if it sucks?" And Bob, I'm paraphrasing, said, "It's going to suck, but you got to keep writing." And he did, and look what happened. So you can imagine. For Bob Seger, and I'm not Bob Seger, but as knowing him and knowing the music and his connection with Glenn over the years, this isn't a friend. This isn't somebody who's a coworker. This is somebody who's, you're his mentor. He's your pupil. You're watching him blossom and become one of the greatest songwriters. You think about what the Eagles wrote and continue to write, but with Glenn and Don, come on, get better than that. The songwriting. I mean, there's always, I've played this game before. You can go and listen to Bob Seger songs and you can switch them back and forth. You go, all right, Hollywood Nights. That could be an Eagles song. Tequila Sunrise. That could be a Seger song, right? And the way they kind of flip back and forth and you can hear the influence. Now, obviously on the song Fire Lake, you hear the Eagles. I've actually been told that there's audio, like completely produced versions of Fire Lake with just the Eagles on the vocals.
Yeah.
I can't get my hands on those, believe me. I've tried. But that's why when Glenn passed away, for Bob, this was a huge loss. This was, I mean, this was his guy. And to see him taken so young, that's why I Knew You when you're listening to this. Understand when you're listening to that entire project. He'd originally done that just for something for Glenn's wife, for Cindy and the family. I don't even know that it was supposed to be public. I think there were conversations that were just going to be for them. Just his way of saying, I'm sorry, and I loved your husband, your father, Glenn, meant that much to me. So when you're listening to those songs, you're hearing something that is very, very raw. So when Bob came in studio, and he hung out for well over an hour with us here, when we were talking, you're going to hear it in his voice after. We're going to play a song. I don't screw the rules. We're going to play a song from Glenn Frey live in Dublin. Bob walked in with that on a CD for us to play. That's what he was listening to deal with the loss of his best friend, Glenn Frey. So that's the whole umbrella as we sit in the studio. And we're obviously going to have fun with Bob. And we talk about things like playing shows at the Silver Dome and what it was like here in Detroit at Pine Knob. And he tells a great Ted Nugent story about the two of them playing in a bowling alley cave. I'm not joking. It's well, hang with us here. So let's start off. We were talking about the title track, I Knew You When, and the impact of some of the Silver Bullet folks like Laura Kramer and Barbara Payton and Sean Murphy, the backup singers. They had all pitched in on this as well. So that's where we begin. Welcome into Bob Seger Boulevard. The title track there from I Knew You When, we were just talking about the Laura and Barbara and them and the vocals, the backing singers.
Yeah.
You know, such a part of it, but they soar. in this whole album, man.
Oh, yeah. They're terrific. I'm so lucky to have them. So lucky. And they really put a lot into this because they two of them, Laura and Sean, knew Glenn for a long time, too. And
why do you know that?
Yeah, yeah. And very close. We're very close with Glenn. So they put their all into this album. They're singing their brains out on the whole album.
Now, Aaron, you've been watching like some of the social media. You guys can join the conversation as well on Facebook. Yeah. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can text 248-398-WCSX. I mean, you know, we don't have Bob Seger in studio every day, so it's a good chance to talk with him. But you were talking about we're getting questions all morning.
John wants to know if you really attended Lincoln Park High School.
No, that's confusing. I played down there a lot.
Okay.
I used to play, I can't remember the school, but it was in Allen Park. But I had a band in 1972 for a very brief period of time, about 5 months, called, they were a band named Julia, and they backed me up for about 5 months. And so I spent a lot of time down there with those guys. They were younger guys. And I think, I never lived in Lincoln Park.
No. But that was the band show,
I attended,
right?
Ann Arbor High.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Darren wants to know if you ever played a small club in Sault Ste. Marie, because there was a myth about you playing a club called The Back Door up in the Sioux.
Well, I can't say I didn't. I know for sure I played Northern. Is it Northern Tech or something?
There's Northern Michigan University.
There. Yeah. Well, not that's in Marquette, but it's Sault Ste. Marie. I played some university there. Yeah.
Superior State.
Yeah. Lakes.
Could be. LSSU.
It could be. Yeah, it could be that one.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I played there.
I always love the stories. Aaron, one of my favorite ones that I've heard about you and Nugent in a cave. Was that in Nebraska? Where the hell was that place? You guys played in a bowling alley cave.
Oh, you love the name. Festus, Missouri. boy, you want to have a sound nightmare. Try playing in a cave that's about 40 feet high and all the walls are stone. I mean, you can't hear anybody. You can't hear anything. It's just a, you know, but it was a lot of fun, you know, doing it.
What was Ted's advice to you? Just play louder?
Well, I was really depressed because of the venue, and he said, yeah, just play. You know, you'll get over it.
Power through.
Yeah.
We have to apologize to you as a show. We were at your sound check for the Palace. We took some listeners there.
Oh, yeah.
And it really made us uncomfortable because we couldn't applaud after you were done with a song. So because we didn't want to interrupt you. You're doing a sound check. And we were told, just respectfully, right?
Oh,
you can't clap. And we were in the back there. We had listeners there, Bob.
I was doing the air clapping.
Right. I'm telling you.
Darn.
It was the hardest thing. The listeners were like holding their hands together like magnets going, oh, dear God, I want to clap and I can't clap.
Yeah.
But you were looking around the palace that day and it seemed like you were really taking it all in. It was cool to watch feel the vibe.
Well, the last show ever at that wonderful venue, you know.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would buy it. Actually, my manager thought about buying it, but because he loves the sound of the building, and so do I.
We call it Punch's Palace.
Yeah.
All right.
The Punchless.
The Punchless. So you did Pine Knob. We did.
Yeah.
We did that one, and then of course we have to talk about another venue. Of course, you remember watching this on Sunday. What was a couple weeks ago? Oh, the Silver Dome. Only the Silver Dome wouldn't go down the first time.
Yep.
Lions fans disappointed one more time on a Sunday.
I went to the game where Barry crossed 2,000 yards.
You were there.
Remember that? He had one season where he had 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
What was it like playing in the Silver Dome? I mean, because we had Jimmy Page on, and he described it as like walking into an airlock.
Similar to playing in the cave. Back then, it was like we didn't have enough PA. We didn't know, you know. It's like I remember when I saw the 8 days a week with the Beatle thing, and they said we had no PA and we're playing Shea Stadium, and they had nothing, and all I hear was screaming girls, you know, because it was there were 40,000-50,000 people at Shea, and they had no PA to speak of. They didn't know what they were doing.
So you're in there in the Silver Dome, and you just had it, again, crank it up to 11 and see what happens, right?
Yep. That's about it. Yep.
We were at the Pine Knob show this year, and it was funny. When you came out wearing that shirt the second half.
I almost wore it this morning. I thought you'd get a kick out of
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
People went Looney Tunes, Bob.
Yeah.
And what shirt are you referring to?
I still call it Pine Knob.
Yeah. Went nuts. That was a great show. Maybe get punched to Pine Knob, too.
Yeah.
Punch Knob? No, that doesn't sound right.
I think that's still running, though.
The same people,
yeah, that own the Caesars on that. Yeah, yeah.
It was fun to watch all that. But let's get back to I Knew You When, the new Bob Seger album, and obviously a tribute to Glenn Frey.
Yeah.
You came in with stuff this morning.
I just came in with one song that I really want you to hear, and I hope I don't cry before the end of it. But then maybe you can follow it with I Knew You When, or with I'll Remember You.
That'd be great. Now, what I've got here is Live in Dublin, Glenn Live in Dublin. If you can set this up for us, what we're going to listen to.
This is during Glenn's solo career, before the Eagles reformed back in 94. And it's July in Dublin, Ireland. And he's got a bunch of musicians. And he does this old Irish folk song. And I think you're going to really like it. He just, oh, my God. I played it for my wife last night, and she teared up. I might tear up as I listen to it, too, because it's so beautiful. It's just a tribute to his great artistry.
Here it is. Glenn Frey, Bob Seger in studio.
Oh, it's called Wild Mountain Time.
Wild Mountain Time.
Yeah.
Oh, the summer time has come, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to the wild around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? I will build my love a bower, my cool crystal fountain, and round it I will pile all the wildflowers from the mountain. Will ye go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to the wild mountain time, all around the blue. Will ye go, lassie, go?
Wow.
Yeah.
Glenn Frey live in Dublin.
I tell you, every time I start to tear up a little bit when I hear that one. Oh, what a wonderful artist he was.
We're talking about Bob Seger in studio. I Knew You When, the new album that's out now. And
you can hear him. It's kind of like I guess the whole crowd knew the song. It's kind of like one of those drinking songs when they're in the pub, you know, that they do.
It sounded like one of the traditional Irish folk songs.
Yeah, it's a traditional Irish folk song. And I thought it was a great choice, you know. Yeah.
When Glenn became Glenn Frey, the Eagles Glenn Frey, and you knew him, and we always hear the stories about you and Glenn, you know, like going out towards like working, you know, helping with songs, you know, towards the end, Heartache Tonight, things like that, which you, the Kennedy Center honors, Bob.
Oh, thank you.
For you to do that, and I can imagine not how important that was to get it right, and you nailed it. You nailed it.
I was driving Vince Gill nuts. He was right next to me, and all we had was a curtain, and I sang it over and over and over, and he says, "Haven't you got it yet?" And I said, you know, to me, the greatest tribute you can do to somebody is to sing it as close to them as you possibly can. I wanted every nuance exactly the way he sang it. Of course, it's my voice. It's different. But I just practiced and practiced my brains out. And, yeah, it was I got a really nice thing about 2 days later when we finally got home from Washington, D.C., and Henley said, "You killed it, and boy, I was moved," and it was really sweet of him.
He was your student in a lot of ways, wasn't he?
Yes, a little bit, because he was younger, I was older, and we both played guitar, we both played piano, and we both wanted to be songwriters, and we were both lead singers, so yeah, we had a lot in common. Yeah, he actually took classical piano, Glenn. He's a much better piano player than I am. Yeah. Yeah. He started taking lessons when he was four. If you listen to The Last Resort and all those great songs with the pianos on them, The Sad Cafe, I Can't Tell You Why, that's Glenn. That's Glenn playing piano. He's a really good piano player.
So in the midst of all this that's going on, in the midst of when Glenn became the Eagles Glenn, and here you are, your career, your world is taking off, just exploding too. Mm-hmm. How much joy did you take in watching Glenn become this worldwide icon? The Eagles are going to be one of the most beloved bands ever worldwide.
Absolutely. And it was such a thrill, you know, because and the band was so good. Like I said, the first time I heard Take It Easy, then I heard Witchy Woman, and then it's like, holy mackerel, these guys are great. And they all sing, and Glenn, basically, they'll tell you, he was the leader of the band, you know, basically. Yeah. He was very... they were all so good, Bernie and Randy and Don, that he took a lot of their advice as well. It was a band, but he was kind of like the prime mover.
Yeah. There you go. Bob Seger. It's more of our conversation in studio with him about a year and a half ago, actually, after the passing of Glenn Frey and the album being released, I Knew You When. Wow. That song gets me, I don't know about you, every time. Every time we play it or talk about it, I've got it on my playlist when maybe you're thinking about someone or something in your life. It's just beautiful. It is live in Dublin if you're looking for it, with Glenn Frey. All right. Bob, back out on the road for the final leg of this tour, for the summer part of it, as far as we know, the farewell tour. As we're recording this now, he's down in Texas. They're doing Tulsa. Obviously, six dates here in Detroit to wrap up this summer. Up to the summer, they'll play Pine Knob, as you heard Bob say. Now, what happens in the fall? I don't know. Obviously, you know, if you're Bob Seger, you're going to wrap up your tour here in Detroit. However, he's talked many times about gigs like Sturgis, and they've never played the Hollywood Bowl. When you want to do Hollywood Nights and the Hollywood Bowl, and they still got that Tacoma show that got snowed out twice, that they promised they're going to get back there. So we'll have more. Sean Murphy will be coming up on the next one as well. We'll talk with Sean. Just an amazing voice, an amazing person to get to know, and her perspective on Bob Seger in the final tour. And her relationship with Glenn and the rest of the band, too, man. It's cool stuff. Thanks so much for being part of Bob Seger Boulevard. My name is Big Jim O'Brien. I host the morning show here at CSX. I'm going to get a tissue or something. Damn, that song jumped up and bit me again. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.